Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. A man goes into a psychiatrist's office. Doctor, would you please split my personality? The doctor says, whatever for? Well, doctor, I'm so lonely. There's a story that in 1808, a very sad man walked into the office of Dr. James Hamilton in England. And he had such a sad look on his face, the doctor said, are you in pain? Are you sick? Yes, doctor, I have a terminal illness. Well, what's that? Well, I am so lonely. I'm so depressed. And if you don't heal me, I'm going to kill myself. And the doctor said, you don't have a terminal illness. You don't have to kill yourself. And he said, you know, you need to get out of yourself. You need to get out in life. You need to do something to enjoy life. Well, the man said, what exactly would you have me do? Well, tonight, go to the circus. Grimaldi, the great clown, funniest man on earth. Go tonight to the circus. Grimaldi will heal you. And the man said, but doctor, I am Grimaldi. Anyway, today we want to talk about loneliness. Do you know the first thing the Bible says is not good? Genesis, and it says, and God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. So God creates Adam, Eve. Let's talk about loneliness. If I asked you to pinpoint the loneliest night of your life, would something come to mind? For some of you, the day my spouse died, the day my daughter got killed. For me, as I thought on this, I was 18 years old. I grew up in Omaha. I drive to college, first year of college. I drive 800 miles to Texas where I don't know hardly anybody. This is back in the 1970s. I rented a room in a dumpy house for $25 a month. And that night I was so lonely. And I turned the lights out, I go to bed. And then I had to get up later and I got up and I turned on the light. Cockroaches all over the walls. And I think maybe that's the loneliest night of my life. Well, what was the loneliest night of Jesus' life? It's called Maundy Thursday, the night before he was killed, when he gave the Last Supper, and then the disciples ran away, and Jesus got arrested. I think that was the loneliest night of Christ's life. What I want to do is to look and see what Jesus did on the loneliest night of his life. Let's pray. God the Father, we pray for anyone watching this program who right now is just going through deep loneliness, that your Holy Spirit would comfort them and speak to our hearts, Lord, and help us know that with you we never really are alone, but speak to us, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, here we go. On the loneliest night of Jesus' life, he said these words in John 16. This is before the disciples run off. The hour has come when you disciples will all be scattered, every man to his home. You will leave me alone, yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. So what I want us to do is look at what happened the night before Jesus was killed, and learn how to handle your loneliness. Take out your Bible if you would. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 26. And we begin at verse 36. Again, this is the night before Jesus died. Then Jesus came with the disciples to a place called Gethsemane, a garden. And he said to his disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. And Jesus took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be grieved and distressed. Notice the first thing Jesus did on the loneliest night of his life. Notice the prepositions. He took them with him. First thing, Jesus got his friends to be with him. Next time you are lonely, avoid the temptation of going in your bedroom, pulling the covers over your head, and having a pity party. Try to force yourself to be with somebody or to call somebody. The first thing, you know, Jesus was fully God and fully man, but as a man, Jesus needed human companionship. So do you. So do I. So he got his disciples, and don't be too proud to pick up the phone and say, hey, can we talk for a while? Or can you go out for pizza? Because we all need human companionship. Now, some people might say, but Pastor, I don't have any friends. What do I do? And if that's you, all I can tell you is you got to make an effort. And you've got to get some friends. Because if you don't have any friends, that's not healthy. I mean, I get a lot of emails and letters and, well, Pastor, I don't go to church anymore because they hurt my feelings or something, something. But you're my church. I just watch church on TV. And I tell them, no, I'm not. That's way too lonely. Every Christian needs Christian fellowship. So the first thing Jesus did when he was alone, he got people to be with him. Second thing he did, Matthew 26, verse 38. Then Jesus said to the disciples, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me. First, he got his friends around him. Second thing he did, he announced his feelings. He got it out. I'm so grieved I could die tonight, is what he said. He got it out. That's healthy. You know, here's the person, well, I'm a Scandinavian, I'm stoic, we don't show our emotions, I just stiff upper lip. That's not healthy. And, you know, sometimes, well, I don't want to be a burden to anybody. I don't want to burden my family with my problems. No, listen, you'll burden your family and friends more by stuffing it and becoming unhealthy and moping around. It's healthy to get it out. I mean, you know what I thought of? I have a prayer partner that I confess my sins to. I've talked to people about my sins throughout the years. I think lots of Christians have never once confessed their sins to another person. That is just way too lonely. So the first thing Jesus did is he got his friends. Number two, he told them what he was feeling. He got it out. Third thing Jesus did, verse 39. And then Jesus went beyond the disciples, and he fell on his face, and he prayed, saying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup, his death on the cross and the next day, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. So he got his friends around him. He announced his feelings. Third thing he did, he prayed. I was feeling kind of lonely, 11 o'clock at night. So I turned the lights out, I lit a candle, got on my knees, and I spent about an hour with the Lord. And it was kind of a sweet healing time, just to tell him everything, you know. That's healthy. And can I ask you this? Have you ever spent 1 hour alone with the Lord? I want to challenge you to do something this week. This week, turn off the TV or turn off your iPhone and spend 1 hour alone with the Lord this week. Let's look at verse 40. And Jesus came to his disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, so, could you not keep watch with me for 1 hour? Again, could you spend an hour alone with the Lord this week? I think you could. And verse 41, keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Jesus went away a second time and prayed, saying, my Father, if this, his death on the cross, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, thy will be done. So he got his friends around him. He announced how he was feeling. He prayed, and the fourth thing Jesus did when he was lonely, it says he submitted himself to the will of God. All right, thy will be done. Here's an older lady that I loved her. She comes out of the door one day when I'm shaking hands after church. Pastor Tom, I used to say, Lord, why me? But now I'm saying, Lord, why not me? She had health problems. And who says I'm supposed to get out of this life without any suffering? Jesus went through a lot of suffering. And I think it helps you to submit to the will of God, not expect everything always to go perfectly. Then you'll get depressed a lot. But if you lower your expectations, okay, God, I'm going to take whatever's coming and I submit myself to your will, that'll make you more happy. Here's another older woman. She says to me, well, you know, Pastor Tom, I've got this awful arthritis, but at my age, you've got to expect these things. And I thought that was healthy. Again, instead of saying, God, you got to do it this way or that way, okay, God, whatever you allow now, I'm just submitting to your will. I was a pastor at Hope Lutheran Church for 29 years. I got to know a lot of widows. The widows that were the calmest and the happiest were those who said, okay, Lord, my spouse has died. I accept that. And I accept that you've got a different will for my life for the rest of my life. That's so much healthier than, oh, I wish my husband would, if I had my husband back. And you know, those people get anxious. Okay, Lord, I'm accepting your will for my life. So if you're lonely, number one, call a friend. Get somebody around you, or at least on the phone. Number two, tell them how you're feeling. Get it out. Number three, pray. Spend an hour with the Lord this week. And number four, where maybe you're single, divorced, widowed, married, whatever God's will is for your life right now, just submit to that to bring yourself peace. All right, there's one more thing I want to say about loneliness. The year is about 60 AD. The Apostle Paul is on trial for his life. All of his Christian friends run away. And Paul eventually lands in jail. And here's what he wrote to Timothy, 2 Timothy 4. At my first defense, Timothy, no one took my part. All deserted me. May it not be counted against them. He forgives his erring friends. But the Lord stood by me and gave me strength to proclaim the word fully, that all the Gentiles might hear it. Now, I think Paul sounds a little lonely in that verse, but you know what Paul did not do in jail? He didn't say, oh, woe is me, all my friends ran away, and now I'm in prison all by myself and lonely, and nothing I can do here, and wah, wah, wah. You know what he did? He said, all right, what can I do here in prison? I can write letters to these churches that I helped. And so what did Paul do in prison? He wrote the letter to the Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Philemon, and 2 Timothy. So here's my last point I want to make. Get this, please. Use your alone time somehow for the glory of God. If you've got a lot of alone time, your most productive time for the kingdom on this earth might be those times you're alone. That was true for Paul. He gave us a big chunk of the New Testament during his alone time that we still have and use. I thought of John Bunyan. You remember him? Do you know who he is? In 1660 in England, John Bunyan was arrested for preaching the gospel. He was in jail for, 12 years of his life. And what did he do for those 12 years? He wrote the most important book maybe of the English language after the Bible. He wrote Pilgrim's Progress. Have you ever read Pilgrim's Progress? That book has been blessing Christians for centuries now. And so my encouragement to you is, if you're alone a lot, somehow use that alone time for the glory of God. All right, let's review this. If you're lonely, number one, get somebody around you or talk. Get a friend around you. Number two, tell them how you're feeling. Get it out. That's healthy. Number three, pray about it. Do you ever just kind of lay back on your bed and just talk to God? Or do you ever get on your knees and just talk to God? Pray about it. And number four, submit yourself to the will of God. All right, I close now, but I'm going to give you a piece of homework. I hope you'll take it. First part of the homework is, this next week, please do, see if you can spend 1 hour alone with God. But here's the second part of the homework. Can you think of someone you know who needs a phone call, who needs a letter, who maybe you make them cookies, I don't know, or take them out for pizza, but can you think of somebody this week who just maybe needs a nudge of love? And would you do that? Would you call somebody or write somebody or whoever you know that's kind of lonely, would you do something for them this week? Amen.
Welcome to the portion of the Pastor's Study where we ask Pastor Brock questions that viewers have sent in and other questions, right? Mm-hmm. Our first question today, Pastor Brock, I sometimes don't pray much because I can't think of anything to say. Any advice?
You know, when you get to that point, and sometimes people don't because they just have all kinds of stuff to get off their chest to the Lord, which is wonderful. There's a couple things you can do. Pray the Lord's Prayer slowly. Mm-hmm. Our Father who art in heaven. God, I do thank you that you're my Father. Hallowed be thy name. God, help me not say, oh my God, or oh my Lord, or Jesus Christ. Help me control. Thy kingdom come. Oh Lord, thy will be done on earth. God, please put an end to pornography and abortion and just the crime in the streets and the false teachings and some of the... God, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Lord, thank you for providing for my... You know, mm-hmm. You slowly go through the Lord's Prayer. Another thing you can do, if you run out of things to pray, which a lot of people don't, but some do, is you pick up portions of Scripture. And, for instance, Jesus told the parable of the sower, and some seed fell along the road, and the devil came. God, help me listen to your word, and may the devil not take it out of my heart. Some fell among thorns, and riches mm-hmm. choked. Lord, help me be humble regarding riches. Help me not care too much. You know, you just pick a portion of Scripture, read the verse, and pray it. Read the next verse, and pray it into your life. It's called Scripture praying. So if you run out of things to pray, pray the Lord's Prayer slowly or do Scripture praying.
Or thank the Lord for all that he's done.
That's right. Like I've said gazillions of times, at the end of the day, I praise God for five mm-hmm. things he did for me that day.
Yeah. Okay.
Good.
Sometimes I fall asleep praying. Is that wrong?
I'm going to give you my opinion. What better way to fall asleep? Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember somebody saying to me, you know, every time when I start praying, I fall asleep. Well, I mean, if that's happens every time, and so that you're not praying at all, well, you got to get on your knees then, or whatever can sharpen your mind. But I don't think anything is wrong with laying in your bed praying and talking to the Lord, and you fall asleep. I don't think that's wrong at all.
I do.
Yeah, there you go.
Is it wrong for a Christian to see a counselor or a psychologist? Shouldn't we just rely on the Lord?
The Bible says that there are 18, or is it 19, spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit. One of those gifts is wisdom. And so I've seen Christian counselors in my life. There was one guy who had so much wisdom that he was worth the money. Let's put it that way. Christian man who just had a special gift for wisdom. So I think it's fine to see a counselor. I will tell you, in my experience, though, what can be just as good, and it's a lot cheaper because it's free, you get a Christian prayer partner. Mm-hmm. And can we pray once a week? I'm going through stuff. Can I just tell you how I'm feeling? And you can give me whatever advice you think. And we'll just, and then you do it for him too. And you just, once a week, you pray with a prayer partner. Sometimes that can be just as beneficial as having a counseling session. Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I found your channel by accident and was intrigued. I'm now 61 years old, and I am sorry to say this, as I am a Christian with a bad attitude. I came from a very violent and dysfunctional family. My dad would drink, come home, and beat my mom in front of my brother and me. My father is now dead, and I have a lot of anger. I'm angry with him for all the pain and suffering that he caused me. I have bursts of anger when I remember things that trigger memories of the pain. I feel like a bad person and often ask God to help me with this anger. Please help me deal with this anger and break these chains.
Well, there's a person who I think could benefit from Christian counseling. Mm-hmm. They call it the healing of the memories, where a counselor will say, okay, tell me what you remember about your, I remember one night he came home and beat up, you know, and you hear it and then say, okay, let's take that to the Lord. Mm-hmm. And let's picture Jesus now with you in that situation. And just let's take some time and ask God to give you the grace to forgive your dad for what mm-hmm. he did on that awful night. And you go through people's memories like that. And it can be very healing. Mm-hmm. Now, a good, skilled Christian counselor would be good for that. But again, if you can find a wise Christian friend that'll help you do that thing. But it sounds to me like she needs counseling, and nothing's wrong with that.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it okay to protect ourselves and our family, even to death, if someone is coming at us with a weapon? Or must we be like Stephen and let him take our life?
Yeah, Stephen was the first Christian martyr. Mm-hmm. Stephen really didn't have a choice. It's not like he had a gun. But he did get stoned to death for preaching Christ. Mm-hmm. And Jesus did say, though, somebody slaps you on one cheek, turn the other cheek. So what can you do? And Mona, I had dinner last night with 6 Christian friends. And I knew I was going to have to answer this on the air. And so I said to them, somebody breaks into your house with a gun. Mm-hmm. It's your life or his. Do you feel comfortable pulling the trigger and killing him? 5 out of 6 said yes. Mm-hmm. 1 woman said no. And is there a Bible verse on this? Does turn the other cheek mean you're supposed to let people kill you? Well, I'm going to give you a thought on this. When the soldiers said to John the Baptist, what should we do to repent? Soldiers were people that kept order and killed people if they had to. He didn't say you had got to stop being a soldier. He just said, don't take more money from people than you should. Mm-hmm. In Romans 13, Paul the Apostle writes that the government is God's servant for our good, keeping us safe in the streets. The police, mm-hmm. the judges, the government has been put into place by God to protect us. So does that mean a policeman can protect you? You bet it does. Does that mean I can protect myself? I lean that in that mm-hmm. direction. Mm-hmm. So roundabout way, there you go.
Okay. Can the saints in heaven see us on earth? Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, Hebrews 12, verse 1. Mm-hmm. Like spectators in an arena, are they watching and cheering us on as we seek to follow Christ?
I don't know that Hebrews 12, verse 1, where it talks about a great cloud of witnesses, mm-hmm. what does that mean? Well, what went on right before that was Hebrews chapter 11, where the writer talks about all the saints of the Old Testament and all the great stuff they did witnessing to the Lord. Mm-hmm. I think that's who they're talking about. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, since we got all these Old Testament saints, I think that's what it means. Does that mean grandma in heaven can see me on earth? I don't think it says that.
Okay.
Now, can she? I think that's an issue that the Bible's silent about. The only thing that comes close is when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah from the Old Testament show up mm-hmm. and talk to Jesus. That's about as close as we get. I think that was a special one-time thing. Does that mean Moses and Elijah are up there seeing everything that goes on earth? Maybe, mm-hmm. but we don't know that. Mm-hmm. So when the Bible is silent, I think we need to be silent. And there we know that we're not supposed to pray to the dead or talk to the dead. Mm-hmm. You know, some people go to seances and they try to contact their dead husband. And the Bible says do not do that because mm-hmm. you're opening yourself up to the demonic.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's
demons
right.
can pretend to be your dead husband.
Right.
Yeah.
Our church currently does not allow our pastor to perform same-sex marriages in our building. There will be a vote very soon to dissolve this proclamation or uphold it. He is a called and ordained ELCA pastor. My question is, if the proclamation is upheld, will the ELCA allow him to continue to pastor our congregation?
Right. The ELCA Lutherans are the liberal branch of Lutheranism. The hierarchy really promotes homosexuality, okay. transgenderism. At the moment, mm-hmm. if a pastor is more conservative in the ELCA and doesn't want to perform a gay marriage, the ELCA at this time will not force that to happen.
Okay.
What they have a convention coming up, and there is going to be issues like this that will come up. I don't know what the final verdict will be, but at the moment, they allow you not to do it if you don't want to. Mm-hmm. To me, the fact that they're promoting this for other pastors, you can get an ELCA pastor to marry you if you're two men. I'd get out of that denomination, mm-hmm. and we did. You and I were part of the ELCA till before we left and joined a more conservative branch of Lutheranism. Yeah.
Okay. Here's another letter. I am an introvert and have some social anxiety. I don't like church. I leave church feeling worse, even when people are nice. I have mostly been fed by TV preachers. I love God. God loves me. I feel bad I don't fit in at church. Is there ever an exception?
Well, Hebrews 10:25, do not forsake the assembling of yourself at church. Well, I don't feel comfortable at church. Well, okay, I understand. But I think every Christian is to be part of a Christian mm-hmm. denomination, a Christian congregation. So I would encourage this woman to do the best she can to be in a church, let Christians love her, surround her. We all need Christian fellowship, and not to become a hermit.
Mm-hmm. Or we maybe even a small group.
Yeah, there you
know,
go.
Something like that.
But be part of the church.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I go to an ELCA Lutheran church. When we are invited to the Lord's Supper, the pastor says, when God sets the table, he sets it for everyone. Nothing about preparing yourself. Is this right?
It's not right. And it used to be that every denomination, you had to be a baptized Christian before you took communion.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the liberalism that's taken over the United Methodists, the ELCA Lutherans, PCUSA Presbyterians, the United mm-hmm. Church of Christ, the Episcopalians, not everyone, but a lot of pastors in these churches say, everybody come up for Holy Communion. You don't have to be baptized. You don't mm-hmm. necessarily have to believe, but Jesus invites everyone to communion. No, he doesn't. 1 Corinthians 11 says the Corinthians were abusing Holy Communion by getting drunk on it. It says God was killing some of those people. Mm-hmm. We're to take this very reverently, and so communion is not for everyone. It's for baptized believers in Christ.
Okay.
All right. Well, Mona, we're almost out of time, but I just want to say thank you for being with us today. If you want to see any of our sermons for free anytime you want, go to pastorstudy.org. We've got articles at that website, too, that I wrote one on what does the Bible say about homosexuality. I got an article, what does the Bible teach the Trinity? Because the Jehovah's Witnesses at your door will say it doesn't. Well, yes, it does, and you can read that article. And so the Lord might nudge you to keep us on the air, to support us. You can do that at our website or see the address in a minute.
Luke 1:37, for with God nothing will be impossible. Have a good week. See you next time on The Pastor Study.
Thank you for watching The Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write The Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.